Hello, and welcome back to the Paranormal Podcast. I am Dan Pacella, co-founder, lead investigator, Orange County, New York, Paranormal, and I hope everybody's doing very well. Thank you for all of the downloads lately, the subscriptions, the follows, seeing tremendous growth of the podcast, and our own Orange County, New York Paranormal channels. If you have been with us since day one, thank you so much. If you're new to the festivities, please subscribe, rate, and review on whatever podcast platform that you listen on. If you've been trying to listen to us on Spotify, I had to fix an issue with them, but every episode of the podcast is now up on Spotify. You may have to put the search in for the name, but it's that they're all up there finally. I'm not sure what happened. It was a formatting thing. But we are on all of those platforms. Subscribe, rate, review. We are also on Facebook and on YouTube. There is a video version of every episode of the podcast. Please subscribe, like, follow us there, and click the bell, especially on YouTube, to get notifications, because we don't just publish videos of the podcast. We also publish all of our investigation videos. And on Facebook and Instagram, not only do we do the videos, we also post updates and pictures of our entire journey that we have been going on, not only as Orange County, New York Paranormal, but also as the Paranormal Podcast. So thank you all for the continued support. And one of the reasons I am really thankful for all the support is that today is actually pretty much bang on the one-year anniversary of the first episode of the Paranormal Podcast. I can't believe it's been a year already. And I'll tell you, when I first started doing this, when I told the rest of our paranormal family we were going to do this, they all kind of looked at me. I don't think they thought I would be able to find a topic about the paranormal to talk about every other week. I honestly don't think they thought we'd get much past 6 episodes, let alone to a year down the road. I remember when I told Tim Purcell, one of our paranormal family members, investigates with us a lot, owner of Grapevine Farms, co-owner of Grapevine Farms, he said, well, just don't make it a thing where you just sit in a circle and talk about yourself, because he watches all these groups that want to come in. He's like, that's what they all do. So hopefully we haven't done that. But it's been a great year. I'm not sure what I thought this would be, but it's exceeded whatever expectation. I thought we'd have about 6 total downloads of the entire thing. I've been surprised, humbled, and I'm very thankful for the responses that we have gotten for the podcast on all the channels. So thank you very much. If you've been here since day one, thank you so much. If you just joined us, thank you so much. We continue, you know, as our podcast downloads, video views, and events expand. Been seeing a lot of that growth lately. A lot of follows, a lot of likes, and a lot of thanks from all of us at Orange County, New York Paranormal. And as all of this kind of grows, and as we've seen what has happened, not just to us, I mean, we are a gnat on the windshield of the paranormal community as a whole. We are not much. And by the way, we're very proud to be that gnat, because we honestly didn't think we'd ever even be the gnat. But you have to ask yourself, if a group like us, we're not on television, we don't have a huge social media following, you know, we're not one of these people on YouTube with millions and millions of subscribers. So if we are seeing that kind of growth, you have to ask yourself, what is it that draws so many people to the paranormal? And I think it's different for everyone. You know, we find that investigators, you know, for most investigators, it all starts with an experience that they had as a child, whether it be traumatic, whether it be in passing, whether it be a relative, a family member, something happened way back that spawned interest in the paranormal. It's my story. I've told the story before in our first ever podcast episode 1 year ago. I talked about how the figure that I believe was had to do with the Underground Railroad running down the street and seeing that figure and just being fascinated by it. That's my story. Everybody who's interested in the paranormal has their own story, has their own origin story, if you will. So, but those of us who investigate, that seems to be a common thread. The people who are into the paranormal and investigate, who are psychic, they had less of a choice in a lot of ways because you can't switch that off. So the folks who, you know, who are gifted or cursed, depending on how you look at it with that, they kind of had it thrust upon them in a lot of ways, unless they really taught themselves how to shut all of that out, which I don't even know how you do that. But let's be honest. Most people are not paranormal investigators or psychics. So why the extreme interest? What is drawing everybody to it? Paranormal television, love it or hate it, is more popular than ever. It seems like there's a new show every week. They've had the friggin' Osbournes chasing down spirits. Attendance at events is way up. I mean, our events, just for us, again, small Orange County, New York paranormal, we're booked solid through October already. And some of those events are already sold out. It's April. And that kind of popularity, that kind of interest, it's not us. We're not selling out anything. It's the experience. It's the location itself. But what is it that's drawing those people in? Honestly, it's probably different for everyone. And today, I thought we'd look into some of the things that are likely drawing people to the paranormal field. The first one is probably the most obvious one. There is a desire to understand what can't be understood. We don't know, and likely will never know, how the spiritual realm really works. But as humans, we often desire to understand what can't be understood. We're drawn to it like moths to a flame. If it can't be understood, we are going to seek out the answer to it regardless. It's how we've evolved into what we are today, for better or for worse. We didn't understand the heavens. Well, Galileo came along and said, nope, I'm going to understand the heavens. We didn't understand heavier-than-air travel. Wright brothers had our back on that one. There's, in every moment of discovery, there is someone out there who wanted to understand something we did not understand yet. And the difference, of course, is that there are physical solutions to heavier than air travel, to understanding more about the planets, you know, telescopes, airplanes. And who knows, down the road, there might be some invention by someone that will solve our understanding of the spiritual realm. But for the moment, let's just assume it's not something that's going to be understood anytime soon. And the fact that we may never know is what makes it more interesting. There aren't a lot of mysteries left. Tech has taken a lot of that. The modern times have taken a lot of that. Travel and the ease of it have taken a lot of the mystery away. The greatest physical mystery left on Earth is the ocean. We actually understand less about our own oceans than we do about outer space. But in the, you know, metaphysical realm, it's this great mystery of spirits and the supernatural and the paranormal. And it's that desire to understand what we may not be able to understand is why UFOs and Bigfoot have been grouped in and intertwined with the paranormal field. I did an entire podcast episode about this a little while ago. Check that out. It's one of my favorites because it's such an interesting topic as to why these things come together and why people lump these things together. We may never know. At the moment, we cannot know. And that just makes us want to know so much more. And even though we don't know how it works or cannot know how it works, a lot of folks I have talked to are interested in the paranormal because it's a way to cope with our own mortality. And nobody ever says that directly, but after you talk to people, and we've met so many paranormal enthusiasts over the years and continue to love to do so, but when you talk to people and you hear their stories and you hear why they're coming to something or why they're interested in it, for a lot of folks, it comes down to that. Many people are afraid of death. And in learning about the paranormal and in trying to come face to face with it, a lot of people find solace in that. it shows death isn't an end. And we don't know what it is, but it's not an end. You know, if you believe in paranormal evidence and you've seen enough, you and made that personal decision that this stuff is real and you believe in it, it shows you that there's life after death. What kind of life? We don't know. We can't know. Is it better? Who knows? Is it worse? Who knows? But it's there. It's a destination at the end of the journey that makes it not the end of the journey. And for a lot of people, that's very comforting. I'll use my own journey as an example here. I'm one person of billions, but I use myself as an example. I'm not a spiritual person at all. I don't have strong beliefs one way or the other. I'm just not spiritual. And my outlook has evolved over the last, you know, 5 to 10 years that we've been doing stuff in with the paranormal field. Good, evil, heaven, hell, purgatory. Never really thought much about it. Never really invested much time into what my thoughts about it were. But man, they all become really interesting when viewed through the paranormal lens. In what phase of what are the spirits we're dealing with? Why are they still here? If there's a heaven, why are they not there? If there's a hell, why are they not there? I've run into spirits that should be in both destinations, and they aren't in either one. They're where I'm standing at the moment talking to my digital recorder. Why are they not there? Is it purgatory? Is this purgatory, if you believe in purgatory? It opens the door to asking these questions about spirituality. And the thing is, if you're asking yourself those questions, you are growing spiritually, regardless of your religious beliefs. If you wear a cross around your neck during an investigation to protect yourself from negative entities, that's spirituality. I always tell folks who ask me about wearing religious relics and stuff, it's not the power of the relic. It's the power the relic gives you internally. It's what that relic makes you feel. If it empowers you, then it's powerful. And if you believe in spirits and you believe they can be evil and demonic, then you must also believe they can be good or angelic. There are so many spiritual questions to be asked. And one day I do want to interview someone who's more of an expert on this than I am. But because that's a whole topic of religion and what we do. But a lot of people find comfort in the idea that there is something else, that it's not just, and a lot of those people may not be people who believe in heaven or hell or purgatory or whatever religious belief you have. I speak from what I was raised with. You know, I come from a Presbyterian background, but no matter, regardless of what religion you are, whatever that destination is, there's a stop. And for some people, I could actually see it instilling fear upon them, because wait a minute, if you believe in heaven or hell, and wait a minute, what could keep me here? I want to go there. But it still makes you think about your mortality and what happens after, and whether that makes you your behavior different, or whether it makes you think differently, whether it makes you act differently, it's still all part of coping with the mortality that we're all gonna face one day. And for a lot of people, being involved with the paranormal field, doing these things, learning more about it, makes that eventuality easier to cope with. And on the other side of that really deep philosophical coin that we just talked about, there's thrill seekers. A lot of people just want to scare, and that's okay. Why do you think horror movies make so much money? Why do you think we keep getting more and more events every year where locations are like, hey, can we do 2 this year? The other one's sold out in 5 minutes. Again, it's not us. It's the experience. Why do you think Halloween haunted houses full of jump scares are such a huge hit? I recently had to drive about, you know, 600 or 700 miles down into North Carolina not too long ago, well, September, October of last year, I must have seen 36 billboards for haunted mazes, haunted hayrides, haunted cornfields, haunted houses. All that jump scare stuff. Not the stuff that we do as paranormal investigators, not those kind of events, but it's a lot of the same kind of people. And it can be troublesome because you can get people who come to an event that we are doing who are expecting the haunted hayride. Before we formed our group, we used to do that. We used to go to a lot of different events in a lot of different places. As I've said a million times on this podcast, it's a really good way to decide whether this is for you or not, is not drop how much money it costs to get the equipment. Go somewhere, pay $50 to $150 and use somebody else's stuff, see if it's for you. But a lot of people show up to those things and get mad. They want Freddy Krueger to jump out of the cornfield. They don't want to sit in a dark hallway for 6 hours, you know, with nothing seemingly going on. For someone like me, that's like my most relaxing day. For other people, they're bored out of their mind. And it's interesting because at these events, you kind of have to juggle with both sets of expectations. People who want that instant gratification, but also people who want the paranormal investigation simulation. I give one location where we do an event the last two summers, I hope we are invited back this year, is Bark Eater Chocolates. They do like a campfire thing with s'mores, and then their location's haunted. We've investigated it. Check out that video on our YouTube channel, Facebook page. And it's very neat how they do it. Downstairs in the location, we have the Phasmo Box going, which is an instant gratification, chopped up soundbars, but you can hear it as it happens. Most people do that. But upstairs, we lock me in a closet, basically. And those who want to have a more authentic paranormal investigation experience, they come upstairs for about 10 minutes. You know, we keep it in small groups. And they sit with me in that hallway in that closet doing things that we would do during a normal investigation. There are folks who spent the entire time up there with me. There are folks who didn't go up the steps once. They wanted the other experience. And both of those were perfectly fine. I actually love it. They're the only location that divvies it up like that. And whether it happened by accident or we planned it, I don't know. But it was great because everybody there got what they wanted. The thrill seekers had their opportunity. And those who wanted the more of a simulative experience got what they wanted too. And, you know, there's also, you know, the trouble of the jump scare thing also is that it leads to a lot of what I constantly am talking about, probably too much on the show, which is just so much drama in the paranormal community where it's all about clicks. It's all about all capital letters in your description. Most haunted elevator ever or whatever. If you have all caps in your description, I will not click on the video. That's something I've learned over the last 10 years. But those folks, that leads to that, because those folks are going to click on a lot of that, which is unfortunate because there are some amazing paranormal groups out there doing some amazing content that they're just naming it what it is, and they're not trying to go for all the clicks. And I've seen some amazing paranormal investigation videos that would have so much more going in terms of views if they used clickbait titles. But like us, they don't do that. Click on some of that stuff. Go on a search for that kind of stuff because, you know, I it's definitely worth it. You know, but the drama and the clicks for the people who want that instant grab, they want that, you know, they've watched Zach Bagans fight demons in every basement for the last 10 years. So they just think that's how it goes and they want to seek that out and they want that thrill. And they want that experience. More power to them. But it is one of the reasons that people do become interested in this. And also there is a sect of it. That's a little bit counterculture, where folks who, you know, they see what we do and they love the fact that it's an affront to the religious dogma that they grew up with, or if it's an affront to the norm. And for some, that's a big appeal. I think that appeal is waning a tad because as time goes by, not believing in the paranormal seems to be becoming a little more counterculture than believing in it. And if you don't believe me, check out your guide on your television or on your cable or on your Hulu and see how many paranormal shows there are in the guide. And that will tell you what is popular and what isn't. Paranormal is becoming less counterculture, but still there is an appeal that a lot of these folks who want to get into it, that's a big part of that appeal. The last two buckets of folks and why they get into the paranormal, I think most closely fit why myself and my wife and co-founder Emily got into it. And the first is a love of history. To truly love the paranormal, you have to love history. Because in investigating the paranormal, you are attempting to talk to the history. And it's hard to explain to someone who doesn't understand, which I know sounds a little condescending, but when you don't know till you know. But I will try to put in the words just how connected you start to feel to these spirits when you continue to go back to places. People ask us all the time, you know, why do you go back to places? And I've talked about this before, and because we're not there. We're not ghost hunters. We're paranormal investigators. You want to know the difference? I did a podcast episode on that too. And there's a difference. And you get so connected. You begin to feel that these people are real. And you feel emotions and you think about them and you get connected to these spirits. There are several occasions that come to mind for our journey. The first being Dennis from the Worcester Inn. That one was such an interesting saga. I did a whole video on that. It's called Connecting with the Spirits. You can check it out on Facebook. It's on our YouTube channel as well. Where Dennis was a friend of Jim Bulow, who was the owner of the Worcester Inn. And Dennis stayed there, and Dennis passed away in the hotel. Jim never got to say goodbye. And through our investigations, we were able to convey a message or two from Dennis to Jim. But we felt such a connect. We spent so much time trying to get to know him and to understand him and to try to talk to him. We felt like we got to know him. And that's what happens. There are certain spirits that just stick out. There's spirits that get under your skin and not in the way that, like, not possession, but they just become like real people to you. David Hiltz at Grapevine Farms is a great example of that. I mean, David doesn't like me. But that doesn't mean that I'm not fascinated by him and that his story and that I don't think about him and that his story doesn't resonate and lead me to want to know more about him. There are members of my family, I'm sure, that don't like me. It's okay, David. It's okay. Doesn't mean I don't like you, and it doesn't mean I don't think about you. It doesn't mean I don't want to talk to you. It can even happen with families. Emily and I feel very connected to the Clark family at Hyde Hall, mainly because we've done a lot of volunteer work up there where we've gotten to know that whole story, that whole lineage. We've read books about them. We've been in their home. We've experienced, we've seen their possessions. We've touched their possessions. We feel that we've connected with them. It's like the family's like a member of the family. And that love of history allows you to connect with people you've never actually physically met. Even though I do believe we've been in the room, and evidence would lend itself to believing we've been in the room with, Dennis and David and members of the Clark family. But it's that love of history and that desire to physically connect basically with the history. And we've touched history. We've gotten to see things and experience things up close that most people don't get to. You're not allowed to touch these things. We don't touch. But we've sat at a table with Abraham Lincoln's tea set on it. We've stood an inch away from Elizabeth Cady Stanton's desk. We've actually been allowed to look through and handle some of the Clark family photos. And our love of history, that's just amazing. You know, most people read about this kind of history. We're out there and we're standing an inch away from it and trying to talk to the people who made that history. And if you love history, there is such a draw to the paranormal field. And that's why it's a big reason. I know it's why Emily loves it. I know that's her love of it. The history. That's why she does all the research. She loves the history, loves to learn about the people, learn about the spirits and understand them. Because the more you know about them, the more likely we have found you are to be able to communicate with them and learn more. But that love of history is, we've gotten to do some really cool things, be some very cool places, and feel connected to some really amazing people throughout all kinds of eras of history. And sort of in lockstep with that is a love of mystery. History is replete with mystery. And who doesn't love a good mystery? And many poor paranormal locations are shrouded in mystery. And there's a lot of reasons for it. I just did a recent podcast episode about the lack of records, or at least quality records, that were kept back in the era that a lot of the paranormal locations we're investigating now are from, and how in 100 years there isn't going to be any question about records. Everything will be kept pretty well track of. My Facebook memories tell me where I was 14 years ago today. I think everyone's going to know how I die when I'm dead, because you just look it up online. But one of the great draws of the paranormal field is the mystery of it. And because of that lack of record keeping, because of the lack of knowing who was on a property, how somebody may have passed away on a property, the spirits can help us connect the dots. And in a lot of cases, they have. I told the story in a recent episode about Robert from the Wayside Irish Pub, who they didn't even know his name or how he died. There was a rumor that a soldier was there. He filled in the dots completely. He told us his name on three different devices, and we asked how he died, and he died in a fight. Why? Because he told us. We assume he told us because he said his name, and we asked him how he died, and that's how. You never actually know, but we can come to a reasonable conclusion that we were talking to that soldier at that moment. Now, you'll always get more questions than answers. It's pretty much the only given. It's the only thing that will always happen. Death, taxes, you'll leave a paranormal investigation with more questions than answers. It's great, especially if you love mystery. Just off the top of my head right now, let me think of some of the mysteries that we're still trying to solve. How about who's singing in the wine cellar at Grapevine Farms? Who held Tim's hand at the Gans house? Who pushed Emily down the stairs at the Burlington County Prison? Why does the spirit at the Gilboa Museum love math so much? That's the scariest thing I've run into, is a spirit that loved math. Who's the man at the top of the stairs that Finger Lakes Community Action, that Rhea and Margo saw, that we caught an EVP of him saying, "Remember me," when we were talking about him? Who was that guy? And the list goes on and on. And on, and on. And every investigation we do just adds to the list. And it's great, because we love history, we love mystery, and the two are so completely intertwined. So what is it? What is it that draws us all to the paranormal? It's probably a combination of all of them. I don't think there's one single one for any of us. That's why I'm only here for this. I'm only here for this. I'm only here for this. I think at first it can be one, but then if you really start to dive into it, you realize that it's a little bit of everything that you get out of it that we've talked about. And I don't know what, I couldn't tell you 100% what my reason for being fascinated is. I couldn't pinpoint, like, break it down by percentage, but I know it's a combination of all of them. What's your reason for being fascinated with the paranormal? Leave us a comment. Facebook, YouTube, leave it in the review on the podcast. What is your reason for being so fascinated in the paranormal? If you're listening to this, I assume you're interested in the paranormal, especially if you made it this far into the episode. And it also can be location specific, I think. You know, it's not every location is the same. And some places it's history, some places it's mystery, some places it's, you know, the uneasy feeling, which I do like. You know, for example, Grapevine Farms, the mystery of who the mystery singer is in the wine cellar. Who is that? We've heard it 10 times in different investigations. We still have no idea who that is. at Hyde Hall, like I said earlier, it's the history of the Clark family, the connection we feel not only to the property, but to the family itself. At the Finger Lakes Community Action, I stood in an Underground Railroad tunnel. You want to talk about connecting with history? An actual portion of an Underground Railroad tunnel. I can't describe what the feeling of standing in there was. At Seneca Falls Historical Society, trying to understand the connection between the governess Maria and the Becker family and the Becker children and why she appeared there before she passed away, according to the family's story. It's those things that keep us coming back. And we're coming back to all four of those places this year. Why? Because we want to know more. Will we know more? Sure. But as I said, more questions will come from it. But these spirits, they help us understand our own mortality along the way and bring us closer at the end to what we know for a fact we may never fully understand. If you love answers and you want answers, this might not be the field for you. But if you want an ever-evolving question, this is the field for you. It's all those reasons and more to keep us, just like you, coming back. Little update on Orange County, New York Paranormal and what we're up to. We've been shelved recently because, as I mentioned in a previous episode, Emily had surgery on her hip. My wife, my co-founder, our researcher, we started this together. And even though our paranormal family has grown, I still don't like to do investigations without her. It feels weird. We do them without each other sometimes. They don't do them without me because I'm the only one who knows how the equipment works. But sometimes we've done some without Emily for certain reasons. But thankfully, she is recovering very well, and she looks to be on track to rejoining and redoing and doing all the things she likes to be doing. Emily is the last person on Earth who likes to be confined to anything. So not being able to move around at her leisure is annoying her. And that's how I can tell she's feeling better, is because she's getting annoyed by it now. So everything's looking good. Once she gets back, then we are back in terms of investigating. We actually have an investigation scheduled for early June. So we wanted to leave plenty of time in the calendar for her to recover. We will be doing several investigations after that to catch up before the October event gauntlet. And but we do have, we had the video that recently came out, Farmhouse Floral Design. Thank you for everyone who watched that. And we are almost finished reviewing evidence from our, I guess, mystery location that we still aren't allowed to totally divulge where we were, but hopefully we will be able to soon. But we are looking forward to getting back out there on the horse investigating when we head back to Seneca Falls Historical Society in early June, which will be a lot of fun. I love going back there. We're going back there in June. We're actually going to go back in October because they have us coming for an event. And I will fill you in more on that as I know more about it. But yeah, it's... you know, Emily's surgery has kept us from doing a lot in the spring, but to be honest, summer is our investigation season. It's when our personal and work schedules open up enough that allow us to sort of have more ability to have free time to do this thing we love to do so much. So looking forward to being very busy again. But we will stay busy, and we'll keep coming back to all those places, both old and new, to try and understand more about the spirits and the history, but also to understand more about ourselves. In the end, I really think that's what the draw is to the paranormal. It's a way to try and better understand where we'll all be one day, in one form or another. Death's inevitable, but with paranormal investigation, we can see that it may not be an end. And that fills us with hope, purpose, and a never-ending supply of questions. The search for the paranormal is, in the end, a search for ourselves. And that is perfectly normal. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we'll catch you next time on the Paranormal Podcast.